Hi. I literally recorded this so many times. Oh my goodness. Something was malfunctioning with my computer, so I'm just going back and recording from my iPhone. I don't care anymore. The word needs to get out. So, without further ado, hello again, all my beautiful angel besties. How are we doing? Welcome back to my podcast. If you're new here, welcome to Sip Bitter Sweet Tea, a faith-based podcast where we talk about everything and give all the glory to Jesus. I'm your host, Lauren Scott, and I'm here to say thank you for staying and slaying. Today's topic is near and dear to my heart. But before we jump in, I want to wish you all a happy Easter. Without all of the Easter egg hunting and bunnies, the real reason is that Jesus has risen. Matthew 28:6, he is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Amen, amen, amen. All right, today's episode is dedicated to mental health, what it looked like in the Bible, as well as in my own life. So I've been reading Ecclesiastes. I actually just finished it, but there was a lot that I could take inspiration from. As a new reader of the Bible, I highly recommend this one to be read first or within the first few books that you do read. The Bible in its entirety is just beautiful. So much inspiration and poetry. It's gorgeous. This website puts this book into a few words perfectly. According to voice.its.edu, Ecclesiastes shows us in standing ways that the key to life is not life in itself. Pleasure, materialism, wisdom, and money are all futile and folly. True happiness comes from centering our lives on God, not ourselves. Wow. I think when the writer mentions the human experience early on, he's referring to worldly experiences and how selfish a human can truly be when centering everything we do and say based on what pleases us and not God. At first, I didn't think the writer was a Christian. I was like, how is this in the Bible? Because he does tend to use the word meaningless a whopping 39 times. But it's true, everything is meaningless if it isn't connected to God. So I definitely understand where he was coming from. He definitely is Christian. If you don't have purpose in life, if you're selfish and doing everything for your own personal gain, at the end of the day, it will be useless. It's like walking a path and not knowing which way to go because it's so dark. There's no streetlights. You're getting a little sussed out. You're getting a little paranoid. And your girl was walking on that road for a while. And it was fun for a little bit, but definitely not for the rest of your life. That's 100% scary. Because you don't know where to go. You don't have any guidance. The writer of Ecclesiastes is King Solomon. And like I said, he was a believer, but he made statements that could have inferred that he didn't believe in God. I was just so skeptical. I'm like, huh? What? But yeah, he definitely brought up like topics of like people coming to God that didn't know him or didn't want to know him. And I definitely, when I went to church, I was so skeptical when it came to my faith. I saw people who were so broken who needed Jesus in the church. I saw people who didn't want to know Jesus and were only there because their parents believed or they had a boyfriend or girlfriend there. I saw the liars and cheaters at school, at church, and I am not one to judge because I smoked a ton of weed in high school and because I was so new to my faith in high school. I didn't even second guess the fact that going to church was high. What? Oh my gosh. I didn't even second guess that going to church high was bad. Like, bruh. That's all I gotta say. I was smoking weed, and on top of that, I was prescribed a very strong antidepressant called Zoloft. And I was on the highest dose possible. I was on 100 milligrams. So, it made me put on more weight than I could have wanted. And that made me even more depressed since my future life goal was modeling. And I thought, how could I model with a body like this? And I grew up vain. My mom did too.
we all have our insecurities, but I just remember hearing my mom, like, in the mirror, oh my gosh, I look so fat today, I cannot go out, or this top makes me look fat, or I can't put those pants on, Loren, they make me look, like, huge, my hips look terrible. It was just, it was so bad, you know. I put on so much weight, and my mom felt so terrible watching me cry every night. I was on this medication for a year. I gained about 40 pounds, and there's nothing wrong with it, especially if it's doing something good, but it definitely wasn't. It was negatively impacting me because I was already getting bullied throughout school, elementary, middle school, high school, you name it. I was getting bullied, and the medication made me feel sluggish. It made me feel like a zombie. I had no emotion except for just feeling depressed because of the weight. And my mom let me slowly get off of it for over a 3-month period. But she didn't let me stop going to youth group or my therapy sessions. And God bless her heart. Thank you, God, for sending me this wonderful saint. Because without my youth groups, without therapy, I don't think I would have been where I am at today. I don't think I would be here, if I'm putting it all out on the table. I didn't care about what God wanted and how he saw me. And it's so sad to say this aloud, but it's true. It's how it was. It's how I felt. And my mom was just there for me, you know, but she wanted me to do all of these things, to keep going to therapy and keep going to youth group, which was more or less also to get me to stop hanging out with my boyfriend at the time, who she wasn't very fond of at all. And looking back, thank you so much. Because to paint you a picture, he was emo. Like, emotional, yes. But he was cutting, which he got me into it. And I will definitely mention this later on in a different episode. He had the side swept bangs. He had skinny jeans. He wore all black. It was insane. Then when adulthood rolled around, I no longer had to listen to my mother, which is a terrible decision, and I highly advise against it, especially since I'm a mom now, where all I wanted to do, and it was a big dream for her too, to see me accomplish our dream of me becoming a high-end fashion model. I mean, literally, we used to watch show after show of America's Next Top Model. And I thought this alone would bring me so much happiness because I would become rich and famous. And, you know, I wanted to buy my mom a nice house, and I still do. But I was willing to go through all sorts of measures in order to push for the money and the fame. I was getting a little crazy, like money hungry and all that. And I was fluctuating in weight on top of it, depression, boys, drugs I was doing to keep the weight down. You name it. And I even suffered from bulimia. And for those of you who don't know what that is, God bless your hearts. I am so grateful you have never tried to do this or heard of it, because it is a very scary thing. And it truly breaks my heart to know that I ever wanted to hurt the body that God gave to me, especially whoever's dealing with it right now. Please, 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 please stop. Please stop. You are so beautiful. God gave you that body because it's, you know, he gave me wide hips because one day I was going to bear children. He gave me long legs. I'm not too sure, but I mean, it does get me from point A to point B faster than most. But whatever it is, it's a blessing. It truly is. And in due time, you will know it too. Just please know that bulimia is a disease. Bulimia is when after a meal, you rush to the bathroom and try to throw up, or you wait a little while for the food to digest in order to be able to throw up even more. And it's a disease. We're sick. As humans, we're sick, we're weak. And we need to rely on a source of strength. And that's God. And I didn't know it at the time. I tried to lean on my own understanding. I tried to lose as much weight as I could without the help of God, without going to the gym, without eating right. I would just eat whatever I wanted to, because I knew at the end of the day or after that meal, I was going to rush to the bathroom and lay it all out in the toilet. And it's just, it's a lot, you know. Everything I was suffering, from the depression to the anxiety to bulimia to drug addiction, I needed someone. I needed a way out. I was digging a hole, and it was getting harder and harder to see the light. It was so dark. And I wish I didn't start trying anything harder to lose weight and maintain that image of skinny supermodel. But I thought it was going to make me happy being this big famous model. And nothing made me happy for a very long time. And I became depressed due to the lack of fame and the money. But I was also getting blinded by the flashing lights of Hollywood. I literally would drive down the streets of LA and ignore the homeless people on the sides of the roads who are also sick, dealing with depression, anxiety, mental health issues from their PTSD, their trauma, drug addiction, whatever it may be. I would literally just focus on myself. Didn't care what anybody else wanted. I wanted it so badly that I would become so invested in worldly things and become even more distracted from the path of God that He wanted me to walk. But the Lord gave me the strength to stop. Amen. And to reflect on who I actually wanted to be. God brought Jason and I together. Jason is my husband, and it wasn't by coincidence. It wasn't God placing me and my husband in the right place at the right time. It was the Lord, and it was perfect. Or at least as close to perfect as any love or marriage can be. Jason and I met, and we became besties for the resties. We became road dogs, each other's ride or die, like, we did everything together. We still do. We love coffee. We talk our feelings out. We talk so much. We love each other so much. We inspire each other. And we got married really soon after we met because of the love we shared and how much we shared the same love for God, which I had never had before in my life. My boyfriends in the past were not into the whole Christianity thing, as they would put it. They all believed in science. To each their own, but if I wanted a long and sustainable, happy marriage with anyone, he needed to be led by Christ. I didn't make many wise decisions, and I used to blame it, like, all in my trauma. I didn't take any accountability for this. My trauma this, my trauma that. So I never grew up, and I was always stuck. And I'm like, why am I stuck? Why am I still depressed? Well, it's called the victim mindset for a reason. You're not placing blame on other people, or you're taking all the blame for yourself and not growing. You're not learning from your mistakes. You're not trying to better yourself. And I wasn't going to be enslaved to this anymore, because that's all the devil's doing. And it took me a long time to realize this. I was like 20. 20 when I was like, oh, I need a change. And then I got pregnant, and then it kind of just, it's not until this year, about a couple, like a month ago now, where I'm like going head in. I'm studying the Bible. I am on top of my podcasts. I'm writing things out. I am being here for my friends and myself and my family. I am doing these things in the name of Jesus. What we tell ourselves can be very easily influenced by what the devil is telling us to think, what to say, what to do, whether it was put into our heads or from outside people who have also been influenced by the devil to be cruel to us. And it happens more time than we think, than we can count. Whatever it is, we can't let the world influence God's judgment of us. Because ultimately, His judgment is the only one that matters. And I'm saying this, I'm realizing how much I need to hear this right now. I take people's opinions of me way too harshly. At work, with my coworkers, with people who I meet on the street, my friends, my family, you know, like, I know who I am and God knows who I am. He knows my heart. And I shouldn't let these people dictate
what I'm doing because I know what I've been through. God knows what I've been through. God knows what you have been through, and he's right there with you, and he's never leaving your side. There's people in this life that don't know Jesus, and they are wandering aimlessly, and they're stuck in their old habits, and I was too, so I definitely understand. Like, I wasn't the nicest of people, and there definitely isn't nice people out there, and they have these dark, dark clouds above their head that clouds their judgment of us, which still does not matter. Their judgment of us does not matter, but they are still judging us, and words hurt. They're heavy. Wisdom knows no joy without the love of God, and I feel like I wasn't wise. I didn't make these wise decisions. I knew no joy, and I didn't know God, and I didn't know his love for me. So it was just this constant battle, this never-ending cycle of just hurting myself, because I'm like, yeah, I've been through all of this, so I don't need anyone else. I'm so strong on my own. I'm happy. Blah, blah, blah. Like, girl, please sit down, relax, like, take a step back. No. And, you know, it's just without any gratitude for him, who are we thanking? Like, for real, ourselves? That's so, that's sad. It truly is meaningless to spend our lives to make as much money as we possibly can, and we don't believe in the one who gave us our breath. The Lord who made us from dust, and that should give us more reason to keep living. But why should we live if we have no purpose? That's just, it's powerful, because I can't even think of one. That's why I was so hopeless in high school. That's why I was so depressed. That's why I was willing to die. I was just like, I don't have anyone. I don't feel anything. I'm just gone. I wanted to just make all this money. And who am I making this for? Are we truly just wanting to spend this hard-earned money for the rest of our lives? For our family or for our friends, and then not be grateful? We're just making money, and like, it's sad cycle that's unhealthy. We're just living for what? Yeah, we can get a house for our children, but like, where is the gratitude in that for yourself? It's gonna end up, we're going to end up becoming selfish, and who knows what will happen if I just spent too many years thinking of my paychecks from the minimum wage jobs I had as disposable income. I wanted to model so bad. I would stop at nothing to be famous, and I wanted to use all this money for my mom, for modeling, but how? You know, like, how am I going to do this if I'm not even investing it or saving it? And am I really going to model until I die? And then what? I'll never be sad again? Girl, come on. You're playing yourself. Wasting time and life at the same time and expecting to enjoy it when I'm dead? I can't take this money with me. Like, I can't buy myself a house or my mom a house or a house for my children. But at the time, I didn't want kids or our family, and I was so selfish. I was just planning on spoiling myself for the rest of my life, going the rest of my life using my money for me, for my mom, whatever. And all that was feeding was my greed, the lies, and everything that kept me away from living a truly fulfilling lifestyle that was from the Lord. I now enjoy learning about homestead. If you don't know what a homestead is, I highly suggest looking into it. It's making your own food, because everything that's in our food can be linked to the depression that we're feeling,
can cause all sorts of health issues. Sorry. It's just, like, Jason and I decided about a couple months ago, our daughter was having, like, behavioral problems because of all the sugar and the processed and the red dye and everything that was going into it. And we were arguing more, which was also playing a role in, like, how she was acting and behaving because we didn't feel good about ourselves. So that's why I'm so invested in learning about this and learning how to live off of God's green earth and not rely on some manufactured processed junk food to sustain my body, you know? So yeah, I'm definitely looking into that. I want to raise my children in a beautiful household and fill our house with love and morals and respect. I want to display and portray Jason and I's love, like, so profoundly in the house so that they know what to look forward to and expect in a Christian and just a faith-loving household, for their futures as well. In a way, I'm so incredibly grateful for how my life has played out, for the trials and tribulations that God has given me, because without it, I wouldn't be this person that I am today. And I'm so proud of who I am today. I'm so strong. I'm so caring and so loving. And I wouldn't exchange it for anything. So going back to Ecclesiastes, it definitely makes us acknowledge that sadness is normal and it's okay. I have been dealing with depression for, like, literally as long as I could remember, and this really defines what it is and how to overcome such thoughts that causes us deep pain. We don't want to waste all of our time consumed by deep sadness and end up wasting our lives. Ecclesiastes 7:1-4, and the day you die is better than the day you are born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for suffering has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. I really relate to this, because I was wasting so much time going to parties, and like I said, I'm so grateful now for everything that I went through, for all the suffering that I have been through, because it really shaped my character so much, and I'm able to pass on this advice, this love for God and for life to all of you who are listening. And I hope to expand this family, this love for God, this love for just learning about loving life. I just wanted to keep growing, so another verse that I had written down was James 1-3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. We learn how strong we are when we are going through it. We learn what we can handle through what we know from experience, but mostly from God's understanding. Because at the end of the day, He knows what we're going to do, what we're planning on doing, and what we're thinking before we do." And that is also a really big message in Ecclesiastes, is at least what I take away from it, is that it's pointless to try and hide from what you are and what you will become and what you will do. Because sinners or not, believers or not, we end up the same way, which is dead. And that's morbid, yeah, I know. But it's pointless to try and not live our lives and live in the now if we are too afraid of what our future holds. Like, why not live as much as we can and be happy before we die, because we don't know when that will happen. It can be taken away in a blink of an eye, accident or not. I spent too much time wondering when I will die. And yes, it can be wise to think about death so we aren't so naive to the inevitable, but we can't spend every day hoping for it. That's what leads to a depression that ends only one way. But thankfully, I was able to lean on strength to pull myself out. And not with my own strength, but the strength of the Lord. So I thank him. And I just ask that you pray to him tonight if it's your first time. If it's you revisiting your faith, or the first time listening, or you lost hope, faith. And I think that we just need God in our life. Because without him, it's very hopeless. It's sad. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is all you need, for my power is the greatest when you are weak. And trust me, we are weak. The Lord who fought for me, who fought for you and all of us, he pushed past all the obstacles I didn't want to face. So he could reach out and save me from falling into the endless pit of despair. This is the same Lord who wants to know you and love you and give you that same exact strength he gives to us when we are broken and beaten down and we want to depend on our own strength, but we're weak in our human flesh. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." My study Bible makes the direct correlation between, I think it's Mark 10:26-27. It's the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." How would we, who are only human, be able to be saved? How would we make it into heaven? It isn't simply just by being a good person, because if that's the case, like, then by all means, but it's what I thought for a long time. I thought, even if God is ashamed of me by my past decisions, I can still make it into heaven. I lost faith and stopped believing. And I even started thinking the universe. Like, I tried manifestation. I tried crystals. I tried tarot cards. And I never got into heavy witchcraft, because deep down, I was always fearful of God, even before I was even introduced to him. Like, as a young girl, I remember sitting and praying to him, like, "Please bless me, and bless my family, but please don't put me in hell." And, like, it was just, like, little things like that. And it was a little morbid for a little child. I was fearful and in love with the idea that someone, that God was protecting and guiding and loving me. I was always scared of being damned to go to hell. But just based on me being a good person alone, without the faith and the grace that God provides us, was just, like, it was silly of me to think. I know, I'm a silly goose. I feel like we all are, but this silly goose finally understood that without God, all I am is a silly goose without faith, and therefore, where is my ticket to heaven? So before I go, I want to leave all of you, my beautiful angel besties, with these verses that will help you believe that you are not alone, especially when dealing with mental health, because it can push you into a corner where even your best friends can't reach you, your family members can't reach you. You know that they're there, but you're still alone and you're frustrated, you're in the dark. But there is a light, and his name is God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And this, ooh, child, this is beautiful. With the Lord, everything is possible. We
are able to be peaceful and have a calm, clear head. I have a couple stories that are in the Bible that are directly related to mental health that I wanted to share. There's about two of them. The first one is from Samuel. It's about a woman. Her name is Hannah. She wanted to be a mother, and she just had a hard time getting pregnant with her husband. She longed for a baby so much that when it didn't happen, she cries so deeply she can't even eat. Wow. She knows grief. She knows depression and loneliness. Her and her husband pray so much, they even make offerings to God. Samuel 1:10 says, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly." She was praying for years. They never lost hope or left their faith behind, and that is amazing. They stayed loyal to the Lord. And in my first podcast, I had mentioned where I was getting disappointed and frustrated and hopeless when my prayers would go unanswered after only a few weeks of praying. And I could only imagine how desperate and lonely she felt for her prayers to go unanswered that long. She probably felt unheard, but she never gave up and she kept on worshiping the Lord. And usually, if something doesn't come to fruition, it's because something else better is coming down the line, or he's going to use you in a different way. We don't always get what we want, and that's okay. We just need to remain faithful. I just ask that you keep your patience as well as strength through the Lord and for the Lord. Another story of someone who had went through so much and still remained so faithful through it all is Job. I'm not too sure how to pronounce him, so sorry. He was always a faithful man, and in one day, like that, he loses everything. Everything from all of his family and servants to all of the material objects like his animals. Like Hannah, he must have felt deeply confused and desperate for answers. But he too remained faithful. He too is also deeply sorrowful, and I feel for me, because I've been handed everything, because my mom was always working so much. It was just her, no father figure. It was her, and most of my siblings were 10 years older than me, so it was just her and I after a while. I was handed everything. She used to spoil me, but I couldn't appreciate it, especially since I didn't know God. It just felt meaningless. I was like, why am I getting all these gifts? That's cool, but thanks, I guess. Like, I wasn't thankful. And I felt desperate and far away from myself. I was always full of sorrow, and I was always blaming others and wanting and needing, but never felt fulfilled or grateful. These people never lost hope because they had God, who gave them all of their purpose in life, gave them all of his love, and that's what we need too, truly. If you're willing to lay down all of your burdens and carry up your cross every single day, I suggest you start now praying, reading the Bible. Just please, like, we need to be saved. We need saving right now, especially now. So much is going on in our world. Proverbs 20:30, blows that wounds cleanse away evil. And let me tell you, some wounds are so deep, and you all know what I'm talking about. Some are necessary. Well, I would say they're all necessary. This is not physical, but like spiritually. There is an understanding that God does not like disobedience. But it will be judged, so beware. It'll be judged by our perfect Father. And there are consequences to our actions when it comes to disobeying God in order to keep away evil. I am the person today because of what God allowed me to go through. And he knew I could handle it. And he was always with me. And I had to learn that what I went through wasn't because of him. It was for him. And in order to bring me closer to him, I was always meant to find him. We're always meant to find him. And like I said, we could get distracted on our path
and lose sight of what we're going through. And some of us will stay stuck, unable to move, and remain in the depression, in the victim mindset the devil plants in our roots, Jesus. Or we could fight through it and be the best, most powerful versions of ourselves. I don't want to go into detail about my childhood trauma, about the modeling industry, my first love. I'm going to get to these topics in due time. Mental health has always been a huge part of my life, though, and that's why I wanted to start it off today, especially considering that Easter is today. This podcast was made for today. Mental illness, like, you are risen. He is risen. Our God is so powerful. He rose Jesus. He can rise you from your mental illnesses, your struggles, your traumas, all of that, because he loves us, because he's strong enough, because he will give us the strength. He's powerful. We can look to him. And one thing is, I am not afraid of my testimony, because it is beautiful and because God gave it to me. And I am proud of the person I have become. But it is intense, let me warn you now. So if you guys would like to hear it, I'd love to share it. Thank you for listening to another one of my podcasts. And I really hope you enjoyed it. Please, if you are getting saved today, if you have already been saved and you took a step back from Christianity or your faith, if you've, for any reason, you don't know him, please start now. This podcast, if it helps, reading the Bible, whatever it is, do what needs to be done so that you don't feel so alone. And I am right here with you every step of the way. So I love you all my angel besties. Mwah.